So let's jump into our text for today. I want to take you back to a guy by the name of Elijah. We find him in the Old Testament. We've been looking at this issue of can we be prepared? How can we make sure our lives, our minds, that we're ready, our situations are prepared for whatever might come our way? And we looked a couple of weeks ago at how do we make sure we get our finances in order so that we're prepared for what might come? Or how can we be prepared in our marriages? Because natural disasters, economic downturns, deaths in families, all sorts of things can hit us. And just if we're not prepared for it, they can really take their toll. This morning, I want us to talk about our health. And there's a great example of someone who needed some help with his health, how it affected him. And it's this Elijah. Elijah was a prophet of God. We read about him in 1 Kings. And if you go into 1 Kings 18, there's a great story, and maybe you're familiar with it, maybe you've heard it before, where he has a showdown with these prophets of Baal. Israel, as a country, had divided into two parts. And the southern tribes, they were known as Judah, and the northern tribes collectively were known as Israel. Now, all the southern tribes, or Judah, all the kings there, some were good, some were bad. But all of the kings of Israel were bad. And one of those guys was a guy by the name of Ahab. And he had married a woman who was not an Israelite, and she brought in with her the worship of Baal. And she, her dad was actually a priest of Baal, and so she brought him in, she had her prophets. And so Ahab and Jezebel and their people were leading the people away from God. So Elijah has a showdown with these priests. And they set up a sacrifice, and they say, let's call on our gods, and let's see who answers. Well, the prophets of Baal, they do all sorts of things. They whip themselves into a fury and nothing happens at all. And then Elijah says, look, just dump buckets and buckets and buckets of water on the sacrifice. And then he prays. And fire comes out of the sky and it consumes the sacrifice. It consumes the wood. It consumes all the water that had gathered around there. And so he has this great victory. And when Jezebel hears about it, she sends word to Elijah, I'm going to kill you. Now she's got motive and she's got means to make that happen. And so if we pick up in 1 Kings 19, beginning at verse 3, we read this, Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom brush, sat down under it and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and he fell asleep. Here he is. He's just had this great victory and he's gone from the kind of the pinnacle of success to being suicidal. How can that be? We often overestimate the toll that even a victory can take. All that adrenaline that had built up in his body in that moment, in that competition, has now just ebbed away. And he is just spent. So let's go on a little bit further. Let's see what happens next. It says, all at once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and he drank and then he lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and he ate and he drank, and strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night. Now notice what Elijah needed. He needed food. He needed water. And he needed sleep. And what does this tell us? We cannot ignore our physical and mental health when it comes to spiritually preparing for the hard times of life. Maybe you've seen this quote or something similar to it. You are not a human being having a spiritual experience. You are a spiritual being having a human experience. And that sounds biblical, doesn't it? That sounds like something we'd read, but actually it's not true. It's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that you and I are physical and spiritual. We are fully both. So take note of that. You are a physical and spiritual being. And because of that, what happens to and with your body makes a difference. Let's consider for a moment our physical health. Let's go to Genesis 1. We read, "Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth." This is in the creation account. And this is what God is telling Adam. "I've given you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food." What do we see here? God provided us with what we need. He built into creation what we need to sustain us, to help us, to thrive. And in Genesis 9, we read that every moving thing, God speaking again, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. This is after the flood, so something's changed. He says, "As I gave you the green plants, I give you everything." So now not only have vegetables, we also have meat. And we know that sin has impacted creation. So issues like drought and pests and mismanagement, those things need to be addressed. But God gave us the tools, the ability to address those things. Then if we go to 1 Corinthians 6, we read, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." So not only has God given us what we need, but we see here that we also are responsible for how we treat our bodies. In 1 Corinthians 6:12, it says, Paul's kind of quoting here. He says, "I have the right to do anything you say." But he responds, "But not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything." Do you have the right to have ice cream at every meal? Sure. But should you? Sure. No. Just because we can do something doesn't mean we should do something. So we have to ask ourselves, as Paul said, what is mastering my health? What is taking control of my body and my mind? Is it food? Is it drink? Is it drugs? Is it your smartphone? Is it your TV? Your game console? What is mastering your life? And therefore, what is mastering your health? So what do I need for my physical health? Because my physical health will impact my mental and emotional health, and my mental and emotional health will impact my physical health. So what are some basic, let me just say, sometimes we just need to go back to the basics. You know, when finances, we went back to the basics. You need to spend less than you make. And our marriages, you know, love and respect, those things are some just basic stuff that if we can put into practice will help. So what are some of the basic things we need for our bodies? We need adequate sleep. We need adequate sleep. And at different ages and seasons of life, we need more or less, but we all need good, deep sleep. Benjamin Franklin said, "Early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and..." Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I know I need enough sleep. And it's going to look different for some of you. Some people are night owls. They stay up late, but then they sleep late in the morning. And some people are the other way around. But however it looks for you, make sure you get enough sleep. We also all need healthy eating habits. We have so many choices of food in this country. Not all of it is good for us. So we need, as followers of Jesus, to use some wisdom to decide what we're going to eat. It's not just the quantity of the food, but it's also the quality of the food that we eat. Because our bodies, they're engines in a sense, and they need the proper fuel to operate at their best. And then we need appropriate exercise. In different seasons, we're able to do different things, and health concerns come along and may change some of that, but we all need exercises appropriate for the season we're at. You know, some of the basics: stretching, strength, cardiovascular, to help our bodies be strong. Because if our bodies are strong, they're going to help our minds be strong and handle the things that come our way. So will you join me in prayer? And then let's sing about this and just let's just kind of take this time and evaluate and say, what needs to maybe change in my life as I begin to think about my physical health? Father God, thank you for a chance to just explore your word and this topic and to understand what it is you have for us. We want to be prepared for whatever might come our way. So help us, Father, to begin to just kind of think about the choices that we make and the changes we might need to embrace. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So not only does our physical health matter to God, but also our mental health matters as well. How we treat our bodies affects our thinking, and our thinking will affect our bodies. Last week, I recorded an interview with Stephanie Schell. She's a licensed therapist with Thrive Point Counseling in Cincinnati, Ohio. Stephanie and I work together at Cincinnati Christian University, and I think she's got some good things to share with us to help us think through how we can be prepared with our mental health. So let's watch this together. Well, Stephanie, thank you for joining us this morning and being a part of our service and helping us think a little bit about when we talk about the health piece, about our mental health. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of wondering how can we understand what's happening in stressful times with our bodies, our minds, that conducting or making sure that we're taking care of preparing our mental health. What's going on in seasons like this?
Well, I think one of the biggest things that all of us are experiencing is this really persistent long-term uncertainty. And when we think about anxiety, uncertainty is one of the biggest pieces that underlies that. We don't know what to expect. We can't plan for exactly or problem solve to the T. There's always this question mark that's out there. I think, and then on top of that, there's so many people that are experiencing loss, whether that's in their job or a loved one or some aspect of health or another part of life, and then hardship. And so all of those things kind of come together, and the way that our bodies react to that, especially when it's long-term, is that our sympathetic nervous system kind of gets kicked on. Like we're always on guard for something to go wrong or what might be up ahead. And so that sympathetic nervous system, it's the fight or flight part of that. And it, when it becomes more chronic, what we experience is higher levels of anxiety, those feelings of burnout. A lot of times like anger and irritability can come with that because you're getting those surges of cortisol and adrenaline that are kicking in with all of that, and depression as well. In fact, the CDC, they released information about a survey, and 41 of the people who responded to the survey said that they've experienced some mental health issues that stem from the pandemic or the measures that were in place to contain it. And it's things like anxiety and depression, trauma that's getting triggered, or stressor-related symptoms that have popped up. People have reported that they've started or increased substance abuse during this time, and that a lot of people have also seriously considered suicide in the past 30 days. That was what got reported. So it's like our whole body and our mind is just stressed.
So what I hear you saying in this is that just the constant unknowns and the ups and the downs, just our body is constantly trying to react to those. And then that just takes a toll, wears us down after a while. Is that a good way to think about it?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, that depression piece of it is kind of like when we're in that fight or flight response for so long, it does wear us down. We kind of go into this shutdown mode. Our autonomic nervous system kind of collapses at a certain point. And it's like, enough, I don't have the energy to keep going here. Mm. And that's one of the ways that we might be able to think about what happens with depression.
Okay. When we're in a series right now calling Prepared. So how can we prepare ourselves for those times? Because we know they're going to come, whether it's a pandemic or something else, there will be seasons in life where things are just hard and they push in on us and they stress us out. So what are some things we should be thinking about in order to better prepare ourselves for such times?
One of the ways I like to think about it is that when we go through hardship, there are certain resilience factors that we can be mindful of, and we can attend to those needs in our lives so that we're more resilient when we're facing hardship or when the problem just isn't going to go away. And my goodness, so many of us were experiencing stuff like this in our normal lives. But right now, during the midst of a pandemic, we've got this extra stuff that weighs in. One of the things that I like to start with, I think it's one of the most critical parts, is belongingness. That's one of the resilience factors. A way to put it would be that we're created for connection. Our bodies were actually designed to be able to be soothed and to operate best when we're experiencing close, safe connection with others. So your social connectedness, having supportive relationships, are really, really critical here. In fact, the attachment literature goes on to say that isolation is traumatizing. Mm. But to feel alone in the midst of something hard really takes a toll on our bodies and our minds as well. So if there's anything that you can do to create community or stay in touch with people, particularly people who you really trust that will be there for you or can understand or listen, that's going to be really helpful during a time like this. Okay. One of the other factors that I think is really important is self-care. If I think about myself, in the beginning of this whole quarantine, that kind of thing, whatever self-care habits that I had, they really kind of went out the window. Like I know for me personally, I started snacking every night. There was nothing else to do. not getting out and doing some of the normal things that, that I would have done that helped me. So I had to really reevaluate what were my habits in order to make wellness a priority. So that can mean a lot of things for each one of us. And I won't go into that because I think we all know how to reflect on how am I taking care of myself these days. But one of the things I do want to point out is that the research on wellness and resilience always points back to infusing play and fun into your life. So whatever you got to do to make it silly, not take yourself and your life and your circumstances too seriously, but go have some fun in the midst of all of that. It actually tones or soothes our nervous system. So it's a really important part.
Wow. So doctor's orders, in a sense, go play, go have fun is what you're saying there. Yeah. I think we could all use that prescription. Is there anything else that we should be thinking about in preparing for this?
Our attitude is another really important part. And I'm going to call out this concept of acceptance. A lot of people struggle with this idea of acceptance in hard times. People often say to me, I don't want to accept that. It's not good. It's like, I know. I don't like it either. But the issue is that when we are constantly resisting the things that we can't change, we've got a lot of energy going into something that's just making us feel more defeated. In fact, a lot of one of the mindfulness and acceptance phrases goes something like this: pain times resistance equals suffering. So you've got pain, you can't change it. But what increases your suffering in the midst of that pain is how much you resist it or wish it away, mm-hmm. or try to control something that's not your place to control. So being able to say, this is happening, this is my role to accept that this is happening and then to choose what to do about it. And I'll touch on that in just a minute. So it's these things that help us have a little bit more flexibility in our thinking and the way that we feel. Some of the practices that can really be helpful with that are mindfulness and self-compassion, things that help us slow ourselves down and notice what we're even dealing with inside in our heads, how we're talking to ourselves. Because if we're really hard on ourselves, if I lost my job and I'm just saying, kicking myself constantly, I'm really going to grate away at the drive and the energy that it takes for me to figure out what I need to do next and to have a positive sense of myself as I try to press forward into that next task. One of the other ones that you won't be surprised about is that another resilience factor is having religious or spiritual beliefs or a moral compass. It shows up in the literature all the time. And so it's things like being connected to a sense of purpose, being clear about our values, having a clear sense of right or wrong, and having a belief in something greater than ourselves. It instills hope. It gives us clarity about the decisions that we need to make, particularly when we don't like many of the options that we have. If we have values that are guiding us and a sense of what am I here for? What am I doing this all for? Then even if the path is hard, we have a better sense of how to walk it.
That makes a lot of sense. And that's something, you know, the importance of having a faith community is to just kind of constantly remind us of those things and those truths, those values to guide us through. So, you know, obviously we've been talking about prepared, but we are in the middle of something right now. So is there one or two things that all of us should be maybe focused on and thinking that'll help us in this moment?
I don't know that there's something that would be universal. I think that for each of us, it might be different things, but one of the other factors that's important is making a decision about what we're to do in this time and being committed to it. Okay. So if I say I need to be healthier, that like my physical health is wearing down and I'm feeling more crummy all of the time, it's one thing to say that. It's another to be able to say, these are the things I can do about it. And I'm going to really be clear about my plan to move forward on it and to then follow through. One of the things that does is it gives us a sense of what we can control in the midst of all the other things that we can't do anything about. And then we're more likely to have that positive sense of I'm capable. What I do makes a difference. So all of us need to be reflecting on what are these little changes or habits that I personally need to be committed to that might look different. At the beginning of the beginning of April, stuck at home, and we found out that one of our toilets leaked. And it had been leaking for about a week, I'm pretty sure, before that I noticed it stepping on really gushy carpet. And you know what? That's a little thing, but at that time, it felt so big to me. It felt like one more problem. Oh my gosh, I don't know if insurance is going to cover this. What if we don't have work in the next couple months? What, you know, all of the what ifs that are flooding into my mind. It really just felt like too much. And the little thing that I did, my husband and I did, is we woke up the next morning after ripping up a bunch of wet carpet. We sat down with a stack of Post-it notes and we were just like, all right, we're going to write everything that we can think that we might do and put it on a Post-it note. And we like filled up our table and we spent that day just like plugging away, calling the insurance company. We can do this. We can investigate this. We can blah, blah, blah. We can make our worst case scenario plan. And the thing that did for us is that it gave us a way forward through that moment. And you know what? I'm sure you're not surprised. Everything was just fine. It was a totally solvable problem. But at first, it didn't feel solvable to me. It just felt like, I just want to sleep. Like this is too bad or too much. And so just being able to break those things down and think about what am I going to do? And one of those things that we put in there was gratitude. Like right now, we need to identify what we are grateful for in this moment because we're feeling really angry that we're having to deal with one more little thing. Right. And so, and I guess if I were to say, if there's a practice that everyone can do, gratitude is a huge one because it really pulls us into what we have, what we can pay attention to that we are grateful for. I think it connects us to God often. That's one of the things that it really helps us to be mindful of, is that He's there with us. He hasn't left us.
Stephanie, it's been an honor and a privilege and a joy to talk with you today. Thank you for giving us some great thoughts, some good tips on how to kind of prepare ourselves and handle ourselves in the midst of this time. So thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thanks, Byron. Anything for an old friend.
Thank you.
I hope you found that helpful and some good things to think about. So let's follow up with that. What are some steps I need to take now to prepare my mental and my physical health? What can I do? One of the things that we sometimes think, well, if we're young, we think it's too early to get started on this. And if we're older, it's too late. We've messed up. It's too, I'm not as physically able, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So let me just encourage you. It's never too early and never too late. When you're younger, you think you have plenty of time to make changes. But now is the time to set in those habits that will guide you through the rest of your life. When you're older, you think, what's the point? What's the use? Let me tell you about someone I met once in, on top of a mountain. This is Mount Whitney. It is the highest mountain in the continental U.S. I hiked to the top of it when I was 20 years old. Really thought I'd accomplish something. Well, while we're up there, on the first day we get up to this high camp, and then the next day we go on up to the summit. And so while we're there, this little entourage came up. And at the kind of the center of it was this lady who turned out to be 85 years old. Now, she had just hiked the same 6 miles, 3,600 elevation change. We were wore out. We were tired. We were wet. She was all smiles. Her name was Hulda Crooks. We discovered that she had begun climbing Whitney at a much younger age. She's 85 here, but she started much younger when she was 65. It's never too late. You might not be decide to go out and hike mountains, but it's not too late to make some changes. Stephanie mentioned making a plan of what you can control, what you can do. And so I encourage you in this coming week, revisit that video and think through again your situations that you're in and think about what are some lessons that you can bring over for your life to help you develop that mental and physical resilience. Now, if things are very severe for you right now, let me encourage you some things. Sometimes it's been gone on long enough. Do you need to talk to your doctor? Do you need to consult a physician? Is that where you need to start? Do you maybe need to schedule an appointment with a therapist and talk through some things? To this morning in the email that I sent out, there's a list of counselors in this area. It's not exhaustive, but it's a place to start. Or if you just need to come in and talk to one of us and say, here's where I'm at. Can you help me find the path forward? But it begins with this. In all things, Scripture talks about we have to first give ourselves to the Lord, to rest in Him, to choose Him, and to say, I'm going to follow Him with my life. And let that then lead us through our mental and physical health choices and changes that we might need to make. And why would we do that? Because of this great truth that He gave Himself up for us first. He initiated the relationship and the process. Why? Because He loves us. He wants the best for us. He knows the creation has fallen, but He's stepped into the creation moment within us to give us what we need so that we can be prepared with our mental and with our physical health, because He's also helping prepare our souls. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, right now, we just want to begin by giving ourselves to You. And maybe for some, that's just kind of come, they've already done this, but they've just got to come back to this moment right now and refresh that choice and say, today anew, I give myself to You, Lord. I commit myself to You again because I'm going to follow You wherever You lead me. Even as You lead me through choices that I need to make. But maybe for some, it begins by saying, I want to follow You for the first time. I want to give You my heart. I want to learn what it means to trust in You day by day. I want to have You save my soul and put a new heart within me and help me to become the man, the woman that You've created me to be. So thank You, Father, for that grace and that love that brings this to us. Help us now to learn to rest in it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.